So I'm gonna talk to you today, and I'll probably finish the second part of this because I couldn't, unless I do all these pages, which I'm pretty sure you don't want me to. I want to talk to you about the first fruit offering. And the reason why I do this every year is because I am absolutely convinced and have proven that God is faithful in this. But if you don't understand this principle, if you don't live by this principle, then you are missing out on the abundance and the provision that God has provided for you already. And so we have to keep the first things first. So I'm going to keep first things first so I can have abundant provision. Now say, let that be your vision today. Yeah, amen. So all of our first fruits belong to God. Do you know that the Bible references first fruits or first things devoted 32 times, at least 32 times? And he talks about money more than any other subject in the Bible. So God knows what is important to us, but he also knows how to get us to prosperity. He doesn't want us to live in lack, and so we're not going to live in lack anymore. We're not going to think about lack. We're not going to live in loss. We're not going to believe. Here's what's happened. Satan has come, and he has tried to reverse the blessings of the Lord and got us in agreement with lack and with loss. And we do it without even knowing it. But the minute that you doubt that God is a good God and that he has provided in abundance and that his name is El Shaddai, anybody know what that means? More than enough. Okay. Thank you. His name is El Shaddai, more than enough. And so many times we just give up for enough. And then beyond that, if we start doubting, we don't even believe for enough. We just eke and by, we're just trying to get by, and we forget the provision of God. And because we are human, and because sometimes things don't happen in our time frames, that becomes normal, but it is not normal because we are children of the Most High God. And we have the provision that he has given to us. Now, we only have so many things that we can give to God. And you've heard me say this many times. We have time, talent, energy, and finance. How many of you know that's what we all have, and we all have 24 hours in a day? But I want you to shift your thinking from finances to seed. You need to just stop. The minute that somebody says money, people in church freak out because, you know, how many of you don't do this here. I know you don't. None of you would ever do this. And say all the preacher wants is your money. No. All the preacher wants is for you to get the blessing that God has provided through your seed. Because, see, God has a way to get it to you. And the only way he's going to multiply things back to you is for you to understand this principle and live by it. Because if you don't live by it and you don't put your faith on it, you're not going to have it. But that doesn't mean he didn't provide it. Because God provided it. So God doesn't do anything without purpose, design, and structure. And so we have to understand the kingdom structure of God and the kingdom structure of provision for your life. So since he is a God of more than enough, then he is the all-sufficient one. He's all-sufficient. He loves you and he wants you to live life and how? More abundantly. Is abundant life even good enough? No. More abundantly. He doesn't stop. God is immeasurable in his giving to us. And so he's a wonderful God. We get to serve him and we get to put him to this test, like Jeff said. And so he wants you to understand so much that love gives, that love sows a seed, that he gave his own son and he sowed him into the earth so he would multiply and come back with a bunch of us. And isn't that what happened? Salvation reproduced after its own kind. And so we are saved today because of seed, time, and harvest. And so, you know, the most important first fruit offering that I always talk about, which is true, is Mark 12:30. This is the Passion Translation of it. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God. Make him very personal to you today. With every passion of your heart. With every passion of your heart. With all of the energy of your being. With every thought that is within you. And with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. So, if we're going to love him with the passion, the energy, and the thoughts, and all of our strength, he said this is the first commandment. Is it the second commandment? Is it the third commandment? It's the first commandment. And so he wants to be the ultimate desire of our heart. And so last week I mentioned the strength part because sometimes it takes grit. It takes grit to understand that loving him will cost you something. And sometimes it costs you your strength to hold on to the truth of who he is so that you can continue to follow him. So Genesis is the book that we look to for the first fruits. And so how many of you believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hallelujah. If you just think that thought all day long and you think about what he's already done for you, were you in darkness? Are you now in light? That's enough to thank him for the rest of your life. Amen? And so he's no respecter of persons. He loves you completely and entirely throughout your whole life. So do you think that God is your father that has prepared poverty for you? Do you think he prepared lack for you? No. And so why do we settle for it then? Why do we settle for it? Because we haven't understood and settled on the fact that seed is the way that we multiply and we receive our harvest. And so, how many of you know that we have the blessings of Abraham in our lives? I'm not going to teach you that whole story today. How many of you know Abraham? We have the blessings of Abraham in our life. Okay. All right. Genesis 13:2 says this. And Abram, get ready, because this is a part of your blessings. Abram was very rich. Say very. Very rich. In cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. So Bethel is the house of the Lord. Now, Abram is very rich. Now, this is Abram before he becomes Abraham. And yet, he is very rich in everything. He's rich in cattle. He's rich in silver. He's rich in gold. He has everything that most people think that they're after, doesn't he? And so God has given him this provision because he's chosen. Because God has chosen him, and he has chosen him for great things. And I got news for you. God has chosen you, and he's chosen you for great things. And we have the blessings of Abraham, which means if you need a cow, he's got a cow. And if you need silver, he's got silver. And if you need gold, he's got gold. And if you need Bitcoin, then he's got Bitcoin. I threw that in for you. And so whatever it is that we need provision for, not only does God have it, but he has it in abundance for you. Abundance. He's not a cheap God that has called you into his kingdom so that you could have lack, so that you could prove that you love him with all of your poverty. That was wrong training. That was wrong thinking because it doesn't line up with the word of God. And if we're going to live what the word says that we can live and have what the word says we have to shift our mindset and put our abundance inside of our heart, knowing that it is not wrong to have more than enough because he is more than enough. And since he belongs to us and since he has blessed us with more than enough, we're able to have more than enough. Amen? Okay, now, why did he have more than enough? Why was Abram blessed like this? verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You see, in order to build an altar to the Lord, a proper altar to those that were of the Old Testament, they knew that an altar was there so that you could give a sacrificial giving. That's what it was there for. And so they never went to the altar without giving something to the Lord. And then when they gave to him, they called upon his name. They gave, they called. They gave, they called. God answered. And so not only did he have abundance, it spread to his family. Now, I don't know how important that is to you, but you know, I think every generation wants it better for the next generation. And I believe that every person wants the people that they love to have more than enough. Because who wants to see them struggle? Who wants to see anybody in poverty? And that means your spiritual children too. And so, not only did he have abundance, Lot did too. Genesis 13:5 says, Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. That's a good problem to have, isn't it? That you have so much that you can't, the land can't even handle all the stuff you have. Okay, but there's more for those who build an altar and give to God and call upon his name. So after these things, after all of this had already occurred, Abram is already rich, Lot is already rich, God shows up to Abram in a vision, Genesis 15:1, and he says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So the first thing that he is saying to Abram is, you don't even have to worry about the enemy. You don't have to worry about something that is coming to attack you because I'm your shield. If God is your shield, which part of you is open to attack? Doesn't God surround you? He surrounds you. And so he said, I am your shield and I am your abundant compensation. God says, I am going to compensate you. The enemy has this thing that he tries to do to the body of Christ. And it has worked up to this time. But I'm telling you the time frame that we're in, we're moving into a new era. And so to move into this new era, we have got to get hardened to the difficulties. We have got to be able to stand against the enemy no matter what it looks like. And I'm sorry that we have become so easily distracted by the enemy. And we have become so easily overcome by what he says, by what he does, by the circumstances. But God didn't build his church this way. And so he is awakening people, and he is fortifying us, and he is asking us to go back to the truth and back to foundational truths so that we can stand against the enemy. And I don't care what the enemy comes up with. I don't care what it looks like in your checkbook. I don't care what it looks like surrounding you. The answer is always found in God, and it's always found inside of his promise, and he has a promise for every single thing in your life concerning you, and it always will take a seed. Say it'll always take a seed. And Satan comes to steal the seed because he knows that if you plant a seed and, like Jeff said, you regret it, do you know that you dig up your harvest? Do you know that it's possible for you to dig up? But we're going to take care of that at the end of the sermon. So if you have dug up your harvest, it's not too late. Okay. Now, Abram has lots of provision, but he's not Abraham yet. Because Abraham is still childless. And so God promised him a seed. And Abram had sowed unto God. And he said he was going to provide for him. But El Shaddai had proven himself in every way except to Abraham. It had been a long time since he was promised a seed of his own generation. He wanted a son. And it didn't really matter to him how much cattle he had. It didn't matter to him how much riches he had. He wanted his inheritance to go to his own seed. And so to him, he believed God. Now he believed God for provision. You know why? He already had it. Isn't it easy to believe God for what you already have? Yes. So what you have to press into and what you have to believe God for is the promise that hasn't shown up yet. So when you have a promise from God, and all the promises in God's word are yes and amen, some of them have shown up, and then you go, oh, I got that, I'm good at that. Look at what God has done. Look at what he's provided for me. Look at what I believed him for, and it's here. You know, but the one thing that Satan tries to do is to take you and your faith away with time. It's seed, it's time, and it's harvest. The Bible tells us this, and that is the way the kingdom works. But if you let go of your promise during the time that it hasn't shown up yet and you haven't actually grabbed a hold of your harvest, and you let go of it, then you think God failed you. And when you start thinking that God failed you, then you have doubt in your heart against your very own God. And so to Abram, that's exactly where he is. He's like, time is running out. He starts to doubt God. He goes, man, it's been years since the promise. You know, the promise was still the promise, but the promise was, did you think God was sitting in heaven going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's been 25 years, and I don't know how Abram is going to turn into Abraham because, you know, he still doesn't have a son. You know that God never worries. Can you imagine? And we're supposed to be like him. Okay. So Abram at least had enough guts to talk to God about it. Most of us don't. And yet he already knows what's in your heart. You know, if you start doubting God, do you think God doesn't know what's in your heart? So Abram just said, verse 2, Lord God, what can you give me? Since I am going on from this world, first of all, he's dying. He's like, he's already dead in his own mind. Because when you lose hope of the promise, you give up on life. When you quit believing God for what you were supposed to believe God for, how many of you know that you are called, anointed, and appointed by God to do great things on this earth? You better go back to your promises. You better go back to your vision. You better go back to your call. You better go back to your purpose. You better go back to your destiny. And you better not give up on any of that just because time has taken your seed. Okay, so he says, what can you give me? Like, he's actually asking God, what can you do? What can you give me since I'm going from this world childless? And he who shall be the owner and heir of my house is the steward, Eliezer of Damascus. He's like, okay, here's what's happening. He's stating what is obvious to himself. Abraham is saying, I'm childless. I look childless. I'm old. My wife can't even have babies anymore. The word isn't working. The promise isn't working. God, you're not working. You're not working, and it gets worse. He continues, look, you have given me no child. A servant born in my house is my heir. He's like, God, you failed me. You didn't do what you said you were going to do. It took too long, and so I'm out. I'm out of faith. I'm out of belief. I'm out of trust. You've been good to me in other things, but you're not doing this. And we think we're not like that, but we are. There are so many things that we believe God for, and when it hasn't yet occurred, we too can doubt. we too can get aggravated. We too can just say, you failed me, God. We don't like to admit this, but this is what we do. And so he blames God. And so Abram is ready. Sorry. Abram is ready to settle. He's going to settle for someone that isn't in his bloodline.
Wow.
Are you ready to settle for something that isn't in your bloodline? He's doubting that he's going to get everything that God promised him. And that's exactly what Satan wants. And that's what Satan is trying to bring to everyone. Thoughts that aren't yours. Thoughts that come from Satan. He wants you to think that God has let you down. He wants you to resent giving to the Lord. Because if you give your time, your talent, your energy, or your seed, and it doesn't appear that it was worth it, then you allow Satan to steal your blessing. We're not going to do that today. This is how Satan talks. But I've given so much to you, God, because he talks like you. I obeyed you. I've done what you asked, but I don't see the benefit. And since you aren't doing it, I'm going to have to figure out another way. And that's what we do. We figure out how we're going to make something happen. He's looking at Eleazar, his servant. And he's like, okay, this is it. God, you didn't come through for me. I'm not going to have my blood heir. I guess I'll just give it to my servant. But you know, second is never best to God. And do you know that God, in spite of Abram's unbelief, he still believed in himself? Do you know that God always believes in himself? When God releases his words, he's still watching over his word to perform it. He's like, wait a minute, I released that word and I'm still chasing after that word to make it come to pass. And so thank God for Abram's example, because God's great love was still chasing after Abram, because he knew Abram, which means exalted father, was going to turn into Abraham, the father of a multitude, the father of many nations. God never changed his mind just because Abraham was a little brain dead at the moment. Okay. So God knew what he needed to do. He knew that he had to bring him back to the truth of God's promise and the authenticity of his provision in every area. And that's what I know God is doing today. He's bringing us back. And so verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. So he reiterated the truth to him. You know, sometimes you just need somebody to shake you up. Sometimes you need an interview from God. Sometimes God needs to show up and go, that is not the best that I promised you. Quit settling. Quit trying to come up with your own way, because your own way is never going to be my way. My way is impossible, and that way I get the glory for it. You know, if you just grab anybody beside you and say that's going to be who the blessing comes through, then that's not God's provision. God's provision is something abundant. God's provision is something unimaginable by anybody else. God, I believe that God on purpose let it take that long, because he is testing Abram's faith, and he knows that if he is going to be a father of a multitude, he better know how to exercise his faith beyond what the appearance is of lack. And we are moving into this new era, and I don't know what the world is going to look like that we're going to enter into, but I know one thing: if we don't hold on to the promises of God and the provision of God, if we can't force ourselves past the things that are hard for us to get past, if we can't see past the natural, we are not going to be able to lead a multitude of people. And I know that the people at Liberty Life Center are called to lead a multitude of people. I know what God has said about Liberty Life Center. water. I know about diamonds on the water. I know about the vision that God has given us. And it is not small, it is big. And for us to accomplish what God has called us to do, we all have to stay on board with what God has promised us as provision for the vision. You have your own vision. You have your own thing that you're believing God for. God's arm is not short, and he is not a small God that he just hands out small things to people. He provides impossible things for the people who will continue to trust him. But he knows what Abram needs, and he knows what you need. And so he comes up, and he says to him, And he came and he brought him outside and his tent into the starlight, and he said, "Look now toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to number them." You see, God always has a bigger picture. He's always got a bigger picture. Could Abram count the stars? No. Can I count the diamonds? No. And so look up and see what God has already done. You see, he's saying, "I hung those stars up there. I spoke them into existence." And he's getting to quit looking this way and to look this way. Because we can never get this way what we can get by looking up. Look up, look up. And then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Now he's taking the promise and he's going, "Now I want this to look tangible to you." And he's like, "You see all that?" It's like, "Look at all those lights. I can't even count those lights. Look at all those lights. And then look at those lights. And then look at those lights. And then look at those lights. And look at those lights. And look at those lights. And look at those lights." And that's just a small portion of what God's promises are for you. It's innumerable. And that's what he's saying, Abram, man, quit looking at the circumstances, because circumstances don't move me. Because my promise is still intact. What I told you was going to happen is going to happen. If you just get on board with me, you just have to keep looking up. And so a lot of descendants. Now, just a few days ago, we had two planets aligned. Did you see that? The Star of Bethlehem, they called it. Do you know that the last time it appeared was 794 years ago? 794 years ago. But you know what you did? You went outside and you looked up, didn't you? I believe that God did that on purpose. I believe that he was taking us outside to look up so that we could see the provision and the promises of God. It's another sign to us that God is aligning things to bring his promises back to life for us. A sign that we should be looking not at the impossible, but to look at the possible of God, because he's the God of the impossible. Amen? And it worked. God's kingdom structure went back into place in Abram's heart. He just went back in. In that moment, faith rose back up, because it says, "And he, Abram, believed in, trusted in, relied on, and remained steadfast to the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness," right standing with God. There he is. He looked up, he got the vision, and faith came again. And it gave him righteousness, right standing with God. God goes, "There you go." He wasn't mad because he had to take him out and show him the thing again. You know, when you lose it, when you lose the promise, just go ask God about it again. He'll reignite it. He'll re-show you. He'll let you know what he has promised. He's already got in store for you. And so the vision was there. The promise came alive again. And so I know a lot of people have given up on a lot of promises, but you have to let it be real to you again. How many of you know that God cares for you the same way he cared about Abram? Right? He's no respecter of persons. And so he will bring the atmosphere of faith flooding back into your soul if you ask him. You you have to be honest before God. You have to tell him, you know, I'm at the bottom of my hope. Have you ever been at the bottom of your hope? No. Nobody's ever been at the bottom of their hope. You need prayer. But God's promises are forever. His promises are forever. And he hasn't lost sight of them, even if you have. And now we're moving into a new era. And so the church is coming alive again to God's truths into a deeper dimension, because this is a new season of spiritual awakening that will activate that which has been dormant for a long time. Okay, so God has a plan for you to realize your dreams again, just like he did with Father Abraham. Abraham said, Lord God, he pushes God a little bit further, just like we do. By what shall I know that I shall inherit it? He's like, okay, I saw the stars. I believe a little bit. I got it. Now I'm looking back at the promise. Okay, I can feel it. I can feel it coming back. But like, I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more, God. How am I going to know that I'll inherit this? Thanks for igniting my faith, God, but I want more. And so he wanted God to provide a moment of remembrance that had the power to destroy the enemy's plans. Do you know that God is in the moment business? Oh, I'm so grateful for this. I want you to just, how many of you have ever believed God for anything that looked impossible and then it happened? Okay, most of us. Okay. So the moment that God provides you is a personal moment. It's that time and that place where it is settled. It's the moment where you admit what is wrong in your heart, but then God shows up. And he provides the moment that you need, the moment of remembrance. And if you stick to the moment of remembrance, it has the power to destroy the enemy's plans in the future. Because you can go back and say, shut up. I'm not going to fall for that again. I had my moment. I had that place with God. He promised me, and he is watching over his word that he gave to me. God is not a failure. God is not going to fail you. And so when he came, when the enemy comes, then you have to have a moment where you can say it's settled. And so God has the answer to him. And this is what he tells him to do. He says, okay, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. You know what this is for, right? This is to offer it on an altar. This is to give a sacrifice to the Lord. Do you think God needed these things? Mm-mm. But here's what he needed. He needed to capture Abraham's attention with the promise and the foundation of seed time and harvest. He wanted him to understand that there is something that is supernatural about your obedience in giving. And so, I won't read the whole story to you, but I will tell you. Abraham takes these things. He offers it, and he does it exactly the way that the Lord tells him to. And you know what God does? He meets him, and he walks through the offering with him, and he makes a covenant with him in that moment. Because when you offer up to God an offering to him, God goes, oh, I'm making covenant with you. Your seed is not going to go without a harvest. And sometimes that moment is when we release the seed. I know you gave your tithes this morning, but when you give your first fruit offering, you better know what you're doing. You better release it with the understanding that this is covenant action. This is a covenant moment. This is when God walks through our offering and says, I have provision beyond what you could ever imagine. Because you trusted me with something that was sacrificial. Now I can multiply it beyond what you ever thought it could be. Because God doesn't just give you back seed for seed. God gives you more than you could ever imagine. But here's the thing. Oh, man, I wish I had my Passion Translation Bible. Yikes. Hold on. Oh, I won't remember. Okay. In the Passion Translation Bible in Romans, I think chapter 12, it says something like this. Like, why is it that you think that you can give to God and expect him to not do anything for you? It's like, why in the world would you buy into that lie? Why would you believe that God is a withholder instead of a giver? And so in order for us to break that lie, in order for us to not fall into the lie of the enemy, we've got to do something on purpose. We've got to give when we don't feel like giving. And we have to do it on purpose saying, I am not going to fall for the lie of the enemy. Anytime that you want to withhold from God, anytime that you want to hold back from God, that is the exact moment in time that Satan has been waiting for, because Satan wants you to become a withholder, because when you withhold from God, the very thing that causes you to have the ability to have abundance, then you lose your seed. You lose the ability to walk in the favor of God, the abundance of God. And so you've got to, on purpose, take it back, and you take it back by releasing what you know God is asking you for. That could be time, talent, energy, and seed, because all of it is seed. But you see, we have things that we're willing to do, and then we have a lot of things we're not willing to do. We have things that we're willing to do for God, and then we have things that we're not willing to do for God. And you know what we want to do? We want to do the things that we like. If God asks you to work in the children's department and your name is Cindy Taylor, is that a problem? I'm just saying. I mean, you know, Cindy from the beginning of our church said, please don't ever take the children away from me. You know, don't ever take the children away from me, because you know why? Because that's what she loves to do. If you give to God something that you love to do, is there sacrifice in that? Really? I mean, it's just something you love to do anyway, so you get to. But when God asks you for something that you don't want to do, you clean the floor. Oh, who wants to clean the toilet? I mean, anything. That's just an example. Whatever it is that God asks you to do, if you only want to do the things you want to do, that is not sacrificial. That is just a test. Because if you're going to give to God and you're going to get everything that he has for you, you've got to sow a seed. Sometimes that seed is honor. Do you honor God with all of your heart? Do you really honor him? Do you love him? Do you put him first in your conversations? Do you think about him when you're, whatever you're doing in life? Is he your first thought in the morning? Do you have coffee with God? Wake, pray, slay. That's what you should do. God cares for you the same way he cares for Abram. His promises are forever. And if we're going to come alive as the church that God is waiting for, then we have to get past our withholding from him. He is not withholding from us. We are withholding from him. But he has a plan for you to dream your dreams again. Okay, so here's what God told Abram to do. He said, build me an altar and sow a seed into your barrenness. I don't think you got it. Build an altar before the Lord in whatever it is that you're lacking in. I've heard a lot of people say lately, I know that God, I'm lacking in compassion. I want to have more compassion. Some people are lacking in love. Some people are lacking in giving. But whatever it is, sow into your barrenness. That means you have to do it on purpose. That means when it's hard, when there's something hard that God is requiring. I think a lot of times the hardest parts are the internal parts. I think the keeping your heart right before God parts, the not withholding anything from him inside there. Because we like to demand our own way. We like to live the way we like to live. We like to have expressions that we shouldn't have. We like to be mad when we want to be mad. We like to do things our way. But if you get this message, if you really get it, your whole life can change. I mean it. If you understand that you sow into where you're lacking, sow wherever you have a want to change, whatever needs to change in your life, sow into it, sow into your barrenness, and God will show up. Maybe you need to sow into a relationship. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't have any friends. And I'm like, well, how do you sow into that barrenness? Can anybody answer me that? Hello. Be a friend. You know, people are not knocking at the door asking you if they can be your friend, but you could knock on somebody else's door. You need to understand that you have to sow into your barrenness. Wherever you are lacking, sow into it with God in the middle of it, and God will provide. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, and so that's what he said. Sow a seed into your barrenness. And so God created seed with the power to create life. And so Abraham, although he thought his seed was dead, God brought his seed to life through an offering of faith that moved God to meet him there and to bring forth a covenant, and that covenant still stands. The covenant is still going. Amen. So this is the moment that enabled Abram to understand the way things worked in the kingdom of God. And you have a moment. You have a moment. Some of you have been in your moments. Some of you need more moments. Some of you need to have that moment where you go, oh man, I am missing this. This is the part I'm lacking right here. This is the part I've never been able to overcome. This is the part that I just don't see myself having or being able to do. You know, it can be, oh man, it can be a lack of wisdom. Did you ever just give up on being smart in an area? Oh boy, that's just me then. Okay, and so, but my Bible tells me this. If you ask for wisdom, what will you get? Right. So you know what you do? You sow whatever you do know into somebody else because you want more wisdom. So you sow into your barrenness with the wisdom that you already have. Listen, I may not know a lot of things, but one thing I know is how to love God and how to love people. That's it. These are my strengths. I love people and I love God. This is what, so I don't have to sow into that. I think I got that one pretty much down. But I may have to sow into organization. Jesus knows. That could be a problem. So I have set myself in order for 2021 to learn how to be more organized. God help me, and he will have to. We need a class on that. Hey, that's a good idea. And so if I sow into my barrenness, and Lord, I name my seed. I am sowing into me being able to be more organized. Guess what? I believe God will honor that. Do you believe that you can name your seed and God will honor it? Okay, because that's what we're going to do. Okay, if you won't give when it's sacrificial, you won't give to God when it's fruitful either. You know the people who always say, oh, when I win the lottery, when I win the lottery, I'm going to give all this money. I'm going to do this good deed. I'm going to give it to this place. I'm going to give it to this person. I'm going to pay off all these people's houses. Please, somebody do that. But anyway, so you have all this. But if you've never given a red cent to God or anybody else, you're not going to do that. You could have a zillion dollars and you're going to go, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Because if you're a withholder, you haven't found out how to be a giver. And so we need to have our hearts transformed by the saving power and grace of Jesus Christ. He is putting, listen, this is all about us being who he's called us to be and for the benefit package to come. When you go get a job, and they tell you what the benefit package is, and they tell you this is how much you're going to make, this is all how many days you get off, this is your bonus plan at the end of the year, hopefully you get one. You know, there's all kinds of things that they promise you, and then you just show up to work, and you just sit there. And you don't exercise anything. You don't type. You don't look at your computer. You don't like computers. I'm not doing that. I don't like that. Really? Okay. Oh, well, go talk to this employee and talk about this and learn that. I don't like learning. Okay, well, why don't you go out and sell? Well, I don't like to sell. Well, okay, I don't like to pay you either. Goodbye. You know, there has to be seed. And there has to be time and harvest. You've got to sow something in order to receive. Am I right? Because if you're not sowing now, you're not going to sow later. And how big of a harvest can you dream? Can you dream big? Then you got to give big. Oh. See how that works? Because, listen, it's just the way the kingdom works. I didn't make this up. I've tried it in my life. I've put it to work. I put my seed to work. I've never had to beg bread. Not once after I got this. Now, okay, let me tell that story. So, before I knew this, this is why I'm so adamant for you guys to get it. I really want you to get it. I went to church all my life. Thank you, Jesus, and thanks, Mom and Dad. And so from the time I was two, my parents got saved when I was two. They got saved together. Thank you, Lord. And so we went to a church. We had miracles all the time. It was wonderful, but I didn't know about seed time and harvest. All I knew was that God could heal people. All I knew was that Jesus was my answer. Thank God for that. I knew about water baptism. I got water baptized. I knew all these wonderful things about God, and I'm so thankful for that inheritance. But I had no idea about harvest. I had no idea that God didn't want me to be in lack. And so when I got married, it was not a good time financially. It was not a good time anyway, actually. But it was not a good time financially. I didn't even know. I didn't know how to believe God for this. I didn't know about giving seeds. And yet, I had been taught to give my tithes since I was a little girl. And if I had a quarter, I gave 10 cents. In my heart, I was always a giver. But I didn't believe God for anything back. I just gave because I was supposed to. Because someone told me I was supposed to pay my tithe. And because I believed the word of God, I thought if I didn't, God was going to get mad at me. I had no idea that this was like a system that God had in place. I had no idea that this was kingdom, and I had to change my thinking. And so when Teresa was a baby, she had, you know, colic stomach. I don't know if you people know what colic stomach. That means that they cry all night long and drive you crazy. That's what that means. So I lived in this not nice neighborhood. that was so not nice, I couldn't walk her outside during the day. In an apartment that ended up having roaches, and the air conditioning broke, and it was so hot that the candles that I had, because even then I tried to decorate, were bent over. I was inside sweating, I was inside crying, and I ran out of food. And so I ate popcorn and watermelon for a week. Yeah, because that's all I had. I don't like poverty. So don't think that I can't relate to people who think they've given to God. Because I gave God my heart. I gave God my tithe. I gave God my attention. But I didn't have a harvest. Why? I didn't know I could have it. I didn't understand the kingdom system. I didn't understand that you have to change your mind. I didn't understand that God is a God of abundance. I didn't understand it was mine, mine, mine. I didn't understand that it was right to believe God for more than enough so that I could be a blessing. I didn't believe it. I didn't know about it. And then one day, I heard Kenneth Copeland on the radio. Man, he was like going on and on about how, you know, if you gave to God, God wants to give back to you. He wants to multiply everything that you give to him. Everything that you give to him. He wants to multiply it. And I went, man, this could be true. What if it's true? I'm like, man, if this is true, I got 10 cents from when I was a kid. Up in a bank account in heaven, it's time for me to start believing God for this, right? So I went, okay. I'm going to see if this is true. And I went to, were you there at that party, Jay? Were you there that day? So we were at this birthday party with our children. And I was, you know me, I'm going to tell everybody about this. I go, I think this may be true. I just heard this and I think we're getting ripped off. I think Satan has convinced us that we can't have, you know, abundance. But I just heard this message, and I think that we have seeds that we haven't even asked God for the harvest on, and I think we can do it. I think this is a message from God. I mean, I'm not sure, because I don't know these people that well yet, but I mean, it hit me in my heart. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to give. I'm going to believe that all those seeds I sowed is going to come to pass. And all of a sudden, this girl starts crying. And she goes, can I talk to you in the kitchen? And I go, yeah. And so I think I'm going to go pray for her, because what do I know? And so I go in the kitchen, and she takes off this diamond ring. And she goes, God told me to give you this, but I knew you couldn't receive it until this moment. And now I know he prepared your heart to receive this diamond. And I go, is it real? Because I could not believe that anybody could give me a diamond that pretty that it would be real. I mean, I would have been happy with a CZ, but it wasn't a CZ. It was a real diamond. And I go, I can't take this. And she goes, yes, you can. You just said that. You just said you believed in this seed time and harvest. This is your harvest. And if you don't take it, you're going to rob me of what I want. I go, give me that ring right now. And so I was like, this is beautiful. It was like, it was awesome. It looked Victorian. It had a nice size diamond. It wasn't a bunch of little bitty diamonds. This was a nice diamond, and it was really flawless, and I love flawless diamonds, and I like big diamonds, and I like everything about it. And so I was so happy. And so at 2:00 in the afternoon, she called me, and she goes, guess what just happened? I said, what? She goes, my harvest. I said, what happened? And she said, I've been trying to sell my house for 2 years, and it sold as soon as I released that ring to you. You see, I believe this message. I've lived this message. I put God to the test. After that, I was a believer. You know, God had a moment for me. He walked through the offering, the sacrifice with me. And he said, I'm making covenant with you. If you will just get this inside of your heart that you have to sow in order to receive, you can believe for your harvest and your harvest will come. And it didn't come all those times that I didn't believe him for it. But once I got this down, did I ever face anything again? Yes, I did. It's not magic, people. It's learning how to give through the hardship. So now I moved, got a nice apartment. It was great. I forget what happened to one of us, one of our jobs. I don't remember that one. And we couldn't pay the electric bill. Well, at least I had no money for the electric bill. So I had to choose. I went, okay, well, tithes, electric bill. Tithes, electric bill. You know what? I had exercised my faith so much by then, it wasn't even a question for me. I just go, I'm paying my tithes. I don't know how that electric bill is going to get paid, but I know this, God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus, and I am not going to withhold my seed. And so I gave my seed. Do you know that the next day I got up, I went out to go to work. I went out, and there was an envelope. We would never do this these days. An envelope underneath my windshield wiper. I opened it up. Do you know what it was? The exact amount I needed for my electric bill. All right, could we give God a good hand clap for that? You see, this is God. This is him. This is who he is. This is what he wants to do for you. He doesn't like me better than you. He didn't like anybody else better than me. All I did was I began to believe the message. I began to believe that this is God's heart. I began to believe in seed. I began to believe in time and harvest. I believed that if I didn't see it that day, I would see it another day. And I had to sow and consistently in spite of circumstances. And when I taught my daughter-in-law how to do a budget, you know what was number one on the budget? Tithes. So we were out shopping the other day, and she goes, Mom, you got to help me. I go, what? She goes, I feel really bad. She goes, like, I need to buy this stuff. I need to buy it. I have to buy this stuff. She goes, but I want to pay my tithes, and I always give my tithes the first thing. And she goes, if I give my tithes the first thing, then I can't do this, and I have to do this, because this is actually really due. And I go, well, May, are you going to pay your tithes? And she goes, yeah. And I go, well, when? And she goes, in 2 weeks. I go, May, God is not looking at, you know, is it the first thing out of your checking account? He's looking at it as it, is it the first thing out of your heart? Are you really going to pay your tithes in 2 weeks? And she goes, I promise, I'm really going to pay it in 2 weeks. I go, quit making God such a hard taskmaster. He'll take it. While we were still shopping, and I'm not kidding, her phone rang. She goes, Mom, guess what that was? I said, what? She goes, that was me closing a deal. I just made $2,000. You cannot outgive God. She just had to release it out of her heart, make a commitment to it. She paid her tithes, no problem. You see, she got it. She's got it. She does not miss it now. She does not miss paying her tithes. You know why? Seed time and harvest became a reality. Her life shifted. Now she has a better job than she ever thought she could have, and she makes more money than she ever thought she could make. Why? Seed time and harvest became a reality to her. Foundational truths, people. We've got to go back to the foundational truths of God. If you withhold from God, you can't expect the harvest. Okay. Now, the seed is able to bring forth destiny. Genesis 15, 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant promise, a pledge with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land. He's like, this is the thing you asked me for. This is what he goes, this is not just for you. This is for you. You get it all. You can have it all. But it's for your kid, the one that's coming out of your loins, the promised seed. And it's for generations after that. It's for generations after that. To give to God during barrenness, it takes faith. It takes faith in what you don't see yet. faith is the substance of things and things not yet seen, right? Okay, so if you won't give, when it's sacrificial, you won't give in your fruitfulness either. So if you are Christ and you are Abraham's seed, then you are also heirs according to the promise. So Abram became Abraham when he cut covenant with God together with an offering. I hope you're getting this. Because you have to get to the place where you fully trust God. And you don't fully trust God until you trust him with something that you don't trust him with before. Does that make sense? So here's how deep it had to go. This is how deep it has to go in you. Now you know that Abraham had a son. He named him Isaac. This was the child of promise. Am I right? Abraham is so happy. Now when he looks at the stars in the sky, he goes, oh man, that's going to be Isaac and his seed and his seed and his seed and his seed. My life, I don't even care about another cow. I'm good. He's like, that's awesome. This is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for the multiplication. I've been waiting for what I can look for in the future and know that God answered this one cry of my heart. This is going to make my life. And then the day came. Now this is after Abram's been tested and tested and tested. And God has brought correction to him. And he's had to adjust him. Like, quit lying about your wife being your sister. You know, quit doing stupid stuff, Abram. You know, I mean, like, you know, the things that matter to God, like faithfulness and truthfulness and honor. And so he's like, you know, that's not really honoring. You're not trusting me. You're figuring out a way to stay out of trouble. Right? And so, okay, so now Abram is, his character has been made. And okay, he's doing really good with God. He's got his son. And then the father goes, hey, Abe, my friend, the one who trusts me now, the one I cut covenant with, I want you to take that kid and I want you to take him up to the altar. Everybody knows what the altar meant. Abraham knows which mountain he's going to. He's already been up there. He's already sacrificed unto God on that altar. He knows exactly what God is asking him for. And he's got a choice. We all have a choice. What if God asks you for your promise? What if he asks you for the very thing that you want the most? And that's what he did to Abram. Except for now he's Abraham. And now he knows his God. And now he's had his moments. And now he can say, I am going to trust you. I didn't trust you to give him to me, but you gave him to me. And you didn't give him to me to take him away. I know you better than that. You are El Shaddai. You are more than enough. The impossible is possible for you. I know what I'll do. I'll do whatever you ask me to do because I know your character. God, you and I, we cut covenant. You said, see those stars? See that sand? You called me Abraham. You changed my name. You gave me Isaac, the son of my dreams. You were the one that made this come alive. And whatever happens, Isaac's not going to stay dead. I mean, that's trusting God. And Abraham said to his young men, Genesis 22:5, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I are going yonder to worship, and we will come back to you. You know why? Because now he's making his statement of faith. He's declaring it before the whole world. He's like, you don't understand. I know what it looks like. I'm going up here with a donkey and some wood and my son. There's no other thing that looks like it's going to lay on this altar, but I'm telling you something right now. I'm coming back with my son too. And that is as fierce as you need to be for everything that Satan tries to twist in your head until you finally believe God with every single thing that you have, until he can no longer steal from you, until you're willing to give the hardest thing that God ever asked you for to him, because you trust that he is not a withholder, he is a giver. And he is watching over his word to perform it, and if he said you're going to have an inheritance and it's coming through this seed, he meant it. And whatever he has told you in that moment when he told you, it became yours, whether it looks like it or not. Good preaching, Pastor Don. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He's like, what the heck? There's nothing here but me. And he goes, here I am, my son. Here I am. When he said, here I am, my son, to Isaac, Isaac had to put his confidence in his father's relationship with his God, which had been proven over and over and over in front of him. And that is how you raise your children. If you want your children to have faith in God, you got to do the hard things for God. You got to have faith in God. You got to walk it out with them. And no matter what he asks you for, you got to have faith that he's going to multiply it back to you. And you teach them, and you train them, and you walk it out until they believe too. And they'll be better than you are. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, my son. Do you understand the declarations he's making? Do you understand these are just not words? Do you understand this is living stuff to Abraham? And he is saying, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And so the two of them went together. Oh, hallelujah. You know the story. They walked up that mountain. Now, I don't know what Abraham, when I get to heaven, I will be doing interviews. And one of the things I want to know from Abraham is, what did you say to him all along the way? What were you saying to Isaac all the way up that mountain? What kind of thing were you saying about your God? What kind of thing were you getting him to hold on to? Because you know Abraham was building Isaac's faith too. It was an opportunity. Oh, hallelujah. And so he offers his son. He binds him up. He sits him on the thing. He's ready with a knife to kill him. Hallelujah. He's ready because he knows even if he got burnt to ashes, God will raise him up. I mean, this is how much he believed God. And so he's like, okay, I'll do whatever I need to do because this is not the end. All this is living proof that my God is able to do the impossible. And so then God goes, whoa. Now God is moved. God is so moved that he is like, if God could get his mind blown, but he can't. So, but you know, we'd like to think so. And he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and you have not withheld your son, your only son. Oh, he's like, you don't know what you just did. You don't know what you just did. You offered up to me the greatest sacrifice I could ever ask for you for. And now, if you thought you were blessed before, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because now this proves you're mine. This proves that you trust me with all of your trust. You trusted me with the things that you didn't want to trust me with. And he said, so now, blessings, with blessings, I will bless you. I mean, God's like, bless. He didn't say, I'll just bless you. He goes, with blessings, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And guess who it applies to? Yes! Say me! Yes. Guess what? With blessings, God wants to bless you. With blessings, he has blessings attached to your name. With multiplying, he will multiply you. God is not just like going to eke out little bitty seeds. He's not just going to drop some, I don't know, pieces of bread on the ground that you go scramble for. That is not God. Oh, my God. We're going to sit at a feast, having a table with him in heaven. In the meantime, he wants to feast with you here too. He wants you to have the best of the best, everything that life has to offer you to prove, not so that you consume it on your own lusts. Get out of that. It's not so you can show everybody what a hot shot you are. It's not so that you can say, look at what I have that you don't have. Look at how much bigger my faith is than your faith. No. There's only one reason why we are blessed. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to prove that our God reigns. We are blessed on this earth to get souls saved. We are blessed on this earth so we can give to the needy. We are blessed to be a blessing. Don't lose sight of that. But you are to be blessed. Abundantly blessed. But you're not going to be blessed if you don't give a seed. Because that's the way the kingdom works. In your seed, all the nations of the earth. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. What are you going to sow? Right. And so, the promises have been made to Abraham before, but now, with the presentation of the thing he loved the very most, it came alive to him because he had his decision. He had a decision to either walk according to the soul and the flesh and go, okay, I think I'm big enough, he can hide behind me. Or he could say, Isaac, God will provide. Let's go. Let's go for a walk up the mountain of faith. Let's go for a walk up the mountain of trust. Let's go up. Let's look up. Let's trust him. Let's do it together and see what our God will do. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible. God will do the impossible for us. If we refuse to do things the way the world's atmosphere dictates to us, you know, the world wants you to have all of these things that you trust in. I don't know if it's a trust fund. Maybe, you know, there's a reason they call it a trust fund. Maybe it's a 401k. Maybe it's whatever. I don't know. I don't know what your finances are. I don't even understand a lot of the stuff that I'm saying right now. But all I know this is that if your trust is in your trust fund, or if your trust is in your 401k, or if your trust is in your savings account, or even if your trust is in how smart you are, you're putting your trust in the wrong thing. Because God is the only one we are to put our total trust in. And when we put our trust in Him, everything else works out. He might give you 401ks. He might give you trust account. I mean, it's not like He's against all of that. He wants you to have abundance. But He does desire one thing, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. God is in the taking away your barrenness business. He is in the making you fruitful business. He is in the impossible business. He wants you to believe again. The reason why I even teach this is because your action will cause a reaction. When God sees that you're actually putting your trust and confidence in Him, you can't outgive Him. This is a no-brainer. It's just that we have to shift our mindset. You know, we try so hard to hold on to things because of fear. We hold on to things because we're afraid if we give that we're going to not get it back. No. The first part belongs to God. I can promise you 90% goes way further than 100%. I don't even know how to explain that. It just works. How many of you have done it and proved that it works? I mean, many of you have received like checks you can't even imagine. Like from places that you didn't even think of. I mean, God is not limited to the way that we figure things out. How many of you know that? And so, end of the diamond story, I gave it away again. It was always His. You see, this is the mindset we have to have. Everything I have is His. If He asks you to give it away, you got to be willing to give it away again. I love that diamond. Well, I liked it a lot. I was able to enjoy it for a really long time until there was another woman who came along who needed it more than I did. She was going through a divorce and didn't have a ring on her finger. I knew what that felt like. And the Lord said, today's the day. I go, oh, good. Today's the day for what? Yay. He goes, today's the day you give your ring away. Oh, okay. Who to? He said, that lady that's coming in, that beautiful, beautiful lady. He said, she needs that ring on her finger because she's just been abandoned. I said, I can do that. I gave it to her. I prophesied to her. I told her she was a queen. I told her that God was forever married to her, that God loved her, that no matter what anybody else did to her, He would never leave her. He would never forsake her. She said, I can't take that. I go, oh, yes, you can, because if you don't take it, you're robbing me of a blessing. I knew that story. She received that ring. She wrote me a beautiful letter the next day. She told me the entire story. She had gone into a store and was going to buy any old ring just to put something on her finger because it felt naked because she had been married and it was gone. And then she said, I'm not going to do it because God will provide. She gave the ring back to the jeweler, came straight to the meeting, and sat straight down beside me. How big do you think our God is? What kind of orchestration did that take? I was in California. These are the things that let you know how big God is and how he cares for every individual. Whatever he puts in your hand, he puts in your hand. Enjoy it. Enjoy it for the season, but don't hold tightly to anything. It all belongs to the Lord. We used to say in our younger years, it's all going to burn anyway. The end of the earth, when we stand before God, he's not going to ask us how big our bank account is. He's going to ask us how big our spiritual account is. He's going to ask us how many lives did we change? And what did we do with what we had? All you have is time, talent, energy, and seed. And we need to use it wisely. Amen? All right, so how many of you ready? How many of you ready to get rid of your lost seed? How many want to call it back to life? Okay. So I want you to stand up because we're going to take this back. I got really mad at the enemy yesterday because I realized that the Bible tells us to honor the Lord with our possessions. And so if the enemy has come and you have sown a seed and then you forgot about that seed and you got a little bit like Abram, and you started saying, yeah, but listen, you didn't do it. Like, I've been waiting, I sowed seed, and it's been 10 years, and I still don't see the abundance you promised me, and you dug your seed up right then. But I got good news for you. This is spiritual activity, and we can activate it right back. By faith, it's coming back to you today. So for every lie, we're going to pull up the lie of the enemy, we're going to activate our old seed, and we're going to believe God for our new seed. Amen? Okay, so God is going to put everything back in divine order for us. So the first thing we need to do is repent. You know, I'm always going to have you repent. You poor people, this is it. But I've been taught, repent quickly and move on. Just get rid of whatever you need to get rid of, right? Okay, so say this. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my unbelief. I have accused you of not bringing me the blessing that you promised for the sowing of my time, my talent, my energy, or my money. So I ask for your forgiveness. And I'm digging up all my previous seeds, and I ask that you activate them again for your glory, to be seen on this earth by the testimony of my blessing that is on its way. Amen. All right. Now I want you to take, we have those paper envelopes, which I know nobody uses anymore, but today I want you to use them. So take an envelope, because even if you already you know, give online or however you give your seed, I want you, this is your first fruit offering. So this offering is not your tithe. This is an offering. This goes beyond your tithe. But as you release this seed, this is what you're going to do. You are going to believe God right on the envelope. What are you sowing your seed for? So remember, as I went through this sermon, I was saying, okay, if you want a friend, you have to be a friend. What are you sowing your seed into? What is it that you are expecting in return? So what is it that is going to be from your barrenness that is now going to be fruitful? So it could be anything. It could be time. It could be money. It could be talent. It could be favor. It could be increase of any kind. You decide. This is between you and the Lord. Okay, so you have to sow into, and then we're going to activate it. And you have to activate it with faith. Don't just do this because I'm asking you to. I don't want you to do it if you're just doing it for me. Don't do it for me. Do it because you're putting your faith in God. I believe him. I believe him. I trust him. I've I've proven it. I've given you stories. They're real. There's more. I have lots of stories. You guys have lots of stories. We've seen God do this over and over again, but it has to be authentically between you and God. And believe him so that you are the answer to what the world needs right now. That'll be another sermon. Okay. All right. So write on your envelope, what are you sowing your seed for? Bonnie, can you give me an envelope? Thank you. I get excited about this. You know why? Because I know God. I really do. This is one thing I know. First fruit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, remember, there's always a bigger picture. So don't think small. Think big. To God be the glory. I mean, you know, we made it through a pandemic. I just have to give glory to God for that. Okay. So when you're ready, show me your envelope. So I know everybody's wrote something on it. Okay, some people are still writing. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Activate your faith. Activate your faith. Ooh. I have more. Okay. Are we ready? Hold your offering up before the Lord. And make this declaration. Today, as I offer you my first fruits, I declare I am going to experience the limitless provision of kingdom abundance in my life. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. I'm looking up again, and I see my promises coming alive. I believe that whatever I do to honor your dream, that you will make my dreams come to reality. I believe your dreams for me are spirit empowered, and that they're coming alive in my life, now, and in 2021. And this is a day of celebrating seed time and harvest. In Jesus' name, we declare it, and we say, Satan, you lose. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, now you can sow your seed. I got to do it. Well, you know, I use Easy Tithe I use Easy Tithe for offerings, okay. There it is, first fruit. Imagine that. Thank you, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I prophesy into your homes and into your family that that which you sow to God is multiplying back, and that you're going to see it. You're going to feel the difference. You're going to know the difference. And I believe that God is going to honor the seed on purpose quickly so he can prove himself to you. I believe there's just time frames where he does this. And since we're moving into a new era and we're going to need it, we need those things that we just asked for, because we were sowing into barrenness. We need to be fruitful. I believe God will honor it and he will bring it. And so whatever miracle you need, whatever healing you need, whatever finances that you need, whatever dream that you left aside, I just call it back to life in Jesus' name. And I believe that with the words of our mouth, like Abraham said to Isaac, our God will provide. Amen? Amen. All right. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the people online that are responding. I thank you that your word is true. It is yes and amen. Your promises are forever. And God, we are going to experience the increase of heaven. And so, Father, we declare it to be so. We believe it, and we give you all the glory for it. Lord, we're going to testify of your faithfulness, of your greatness, and of your love. And we look forward to all of the testimonies. And for your precious name, amen and amen. Amen.